Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
We're glad that you are from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon, producer-engineer Michael Mergens. Bob Getty having a staycation this week. Of course, with Medicare open enrollment right around the corner, I'm sure he's busily comparing plans. Hey, that's important when you get to be our age. Coming up in just a moment, Marchant Kenny's going to join us for his weekly Monday assessment of the Southern Miss football program, although, of course, the Eagles played last Thursday. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to talk about one of the wildest games in the Sun Belt Conference ever to be played. It happened this weekend down in San Marcos between Troy and the Texas State Bobcats. Barry McKnight, the voice of Troy, is going to join us. If you didn't hear about that game, you'll hear about it a little bit later. We're also going to talk about, besides the football team, the hottest team on campus at Southern Miss. Number one in the Sun Belt Conference. Who could that be? We're going to talk about it a little bit later on.
Is it the soccer team?
It is not the soccer team.
I was just guessing.
I will give you that clue. This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. They have been a sponsor of this show ever since we've been on the air some 12 years, and big supporters of Southern Miss. Anytime your plans call for a small catering event or large catering event, please consider Dickey. All the side dishes they have are unparalleled, and the service is excellent as well. Thank you to Dickey's Barbecue Pit for sponsorship of this program and for what they do at Southern Miss. Marchant Kenny joins us now, who normally he comes to the Hattiesburg area for Southern Miss games, and this week, the shoe will turn because a lot of Southern Miss fans will be invading his home area around the Lafayette, Louisiana area as the Eagles and Cajuns get ready to kick it off Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Marchant, good weekend for the Eagles. A lot of things happening in the Sun Belt. We'll get to the future right now, but your assessment of the overall game Thursday night, things you liked that the Eagles did and some things that made you a little uneasy.
I mean, first up, I have to grasp the concept. Kelly and Dima, are we good at football again?
Yes, we are.
Good at football again?
Yes, we are.
Man, we're good at football again. it's starting to, you know, get a good feeling about it once again. But, man, what a nail-biter in the second half against Georgia Southern. You know, offensively, man, please the whole way. And it's just near Braylon Braxton's getting better and better and better. Like, after the game the other night, I'm like, he looked more comfortable than he has had in a black and gold uniform. He's running the offense. He's solid. They're letting him use his feet more, so which is a very comfortable place for him to be. So it's just great seeing Braylon become clearly what I think is the best quarterback in the Sun Belt. But the defense, man, you know, first half, nasty bunch. Nasty bunch. I was chanting on my couch. So was Kelly. I heard him. And second half. What happened on defense, fellas? What happened?
Well, that's why you're on the show. You played at a high level. We want you to tell us what happened.
There's you know, I can break it down as deep as you want with defensive football, but it's as simple as this. Whenever you're watching a screen, you're not really focused on a player, a certain thing going on, specific. You're just broad perspective of the screen. First half, I watched their offense and our defense. And when a play was about to start, you could just feel and see a little bit more energy from our feet, from our players, a little slight jittery, which is good. You want to see it slight. And second half, I didn't see that. A lot more calm, a lot more peace. I don't know what happened at halftime, but they lost the edge. I have no idea what happened at halftime.
Well, I've covered Southern Miss a long time, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say, Marchant, that the first half that the Eagles played was probably the most near perfect football that I've seen a Southern Miss team play a half. You agree?
I 1,000% agree with that. I can't even remember a half of football like that. And if we could put two halves like that together, we want Bama and Ohio State. Okay?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, back to back.
Yeah, okay.
Back to back.
Yeah, but hey, right. No, come on, I'm the guest.
Actually, yeah. Dima, one of the things that worried me a little bit was that Coach Huff and his Marshall Club last year was at Georgia Southern and didn't give it away, but I mean lost the game in the second half, and I'm going, oh gosh, let's hope that this doesn't get repeated.
Yeah,
man, you know.
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, no, I thought the same thing, and it was definitely like a deja vu moment for him. Obviously, they ended up winning the game. Again, we talked about it on Friday. Freshman, first time ever playing in a college game, kicked the field goal. That was the separation at the end. The ball bounced Georgia Southern's way in the second half that just wasn't bouncing their way in the first half. But when you look at that first half performance, it was like, okay, the whole talk coming into that game was, can Southern Miss win on the road? The last time we saw them on the road was in Ruston. Are they going to be able to do this? Are they going to be able to do that? And I just feel like it was like the last big question we had about the team, and they answered it in the first half. And I wonder if like they were even kind of surprised about like how dominant they were, and they kind of were like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, let off the gas a little bit, because they were so dominant that like Georgia Southern could not even move the football. Like, it was unbelievable how dominant they were. And then the offense was like moving the ball down the field like butter through a knife, a knife through a knife through butter. Like, it was incredible. And then the second half, it was like, all right, you know, I don't know what that was, but we're still, you know, still figuring some things out. So I don't really take any of the second. I'm not worried about the second half, because I'm really not. Like, that doesn't worry me. Now, I want to see Southern Miss do what they did in the first half for an entire game. Not necessarily, because I don't think they're going to be that dominant consistently.
Marchant, to let you in on, Dima actually texted me in the first half, and he said, now are you convinced they can win on the road? Is there anything else that this team needs to sell you on? And my response in the second quarter was, consistency.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said, and that was in the second quarter. And then they came out and had the second half. They did. What about consistency with you? Are you concerned at all?
Not really consistency, because you just take away the La Tech game. I don't know what happened in Ruston. Hopefully that's just a one-off. But call me crazy, but if you just stand back and look at this team over four games that they've won, even the Mississippi State loss, come first game to now, they've gotten better every game. You know, whether it's a half or something, that first half that I saw the other night, that was literally the best. I can't remember a better half of Southern Miss football. And Dima, that is hilarious. The team at the halftime, I'm picturing this now, looking like the most dominant football team in the Sun Belt, clearly. And the Coach Huff might have walked in like, damn. And
I
they
know.
Were like, man, what? Wait, what?
Well, Marchant,
it was that good. It was that good.
No, I don't think that's like crazy to think about, like, because it's like, they knew they were, they're not, yeah, obviously we know Southern Miss is good, but like they literally looked like Georgia Southern was playing Alabama or something. Like, that's let me just read off this was Georgia Southern's drives in the first half. Punt, touchdown, punt, punt, interception, punt, interception, punt, punt, end of half. Like, I don't even think you could have, if you would have, like, you can't even script a better start than that. And then in the second half, Georgia Southern's drives, touchdown, touchdown, interception, touchdown, touchdown. So
yeah, I mean,
it's crazy.
The second half, what, like the first half?
They would have won 59-0.
Yeah, then would have been like the 1941 game when these two teams played last. When we were Mississippi Southern, they were the Georgia Teachers College, and we beat them 70-0. It was headed to that.
I didn't realize you were that old. Boy, your memory is great.
Man, I wasn't mayor, Kelly.
Well, I was, and I was going to say, I don't
Kelly
remember
Kelly was in diapers when that happened.
I don't remember seeing you there. But what does it mean, though, Marchant, to go into a place like Paulson Stadium at Statesboro, a team that wins 80% of its games there over the history of the program? What does it do to the psyche and morale of a team to go in there and put it on them?
oh man, it just changes everything. If you ask me, that we can really get this thing done. I mean, you really are looking at the rest of the schedule. There isn't anyone we can't beat. I mean, I'm thinking they keep progressing very well to be favored in every game. You're staring 10-2 in the eye, and the thing is, we could analyze the first half defense did this, second half they did this, what have you. Man, a win is a win is a win. Consider where we've been. This is night and day better from the Coach Hall era. So, man, I don't know, man. It's hard to get ahead of myself, but you're looking at 10. You are literally looking at 10 wins in the MLB business.
Off that, when he's talking about looking at the schedule, there's nobody on the schedule other than Troy left on the schedule who has a winning record.
Yeah, I just think by the time we get to a Troy game, Coach Huff with his discipline process, doing things the right way every minute, it's going to keep getting better. I mean, that just doesn't look formidable. It just doesn't.
What do you expect from an Eagle-Cajun game this weekend, Marchant, down in your neck of the woods?
Well, I have been fooled by the Cajuns' 4 total yard passing performance against Missouri not that long ago. And I know they only lost by 10 to James Madison, who's really good, last weekend. But that James Madison played terrible in the first half. Being capitalized in the red zone, that score should have been way worse. And I'm not fooled by the Cajuns. And the biggest bit of bulletin board material pep the team up you could ever get is they made up their homecoming opponent.
Oh, boy.
Coach Up, that's all I'm telling the team. They think they can beat you, and it's an easy win. And, you know, let's go practice.
All right, Marchant, we got to roll. Thanks, buddy. Have a good week, and we'll see you down there this weekend.
Always. Southern Miss to the top.
Marchant Kenny with us. More of the Eagle Hour in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Still to come, the hottest sports program on the campus at Southern Miss. We're going to talk about that program in a moment. And Barry McKnight, the voice of the Troy Trojans, will join us talking about a bizarre football game that happened Saturday night down in San Marcos, Texas. This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Eagle Tire West, and Matt Warren invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products and full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West. It's next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 in West Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear tires, in fact, they have a Goodyear Eagle. It's called a Goodyear Eagle. Full service and big Southern Miss supporters. We thank and welcome Eagle Tire West to the program. And our friends at Forest Healthcare want to remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun this time of year, unless you're a Bengal fan like me. But don't forget that the most important player on the team is
Tigers.
You. Yeah, well, but they had a good season. The Tigers had a good season, just couldn't hit. Get your annual physical to be sure that your health is where it needs to be and is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Look them up online at ForestHealth.org. We've teased at Dima about the hottest team on the campus at Southern Miss. We gave you a clue that it was not the soccer team. In fact, the soccer team struggling a little bit, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
The hottest team on campus besides this football team.
Mm-hmm. Basketball?
It's not basketball either.
Oh, they haven't even started.
No. So you got a
chess team?
You got to narrow it down. You guys don't consider esports a team.
I do.
So
Bob
I do
doesn't.
Too. Bob doesn't. How about
volleyball?
The volleyball
team. I know. It's incredible.
Man, Jenny Hazelwood's volleyball team right now sits atop the Western Division. In the volleyball standings, they are 13-4 overall. They have won their last 3 matches in a row. They are tied for first in the West with South Alabama, who, ironically, will be the opposition this weekend. Now, unfortunately, the Lady Eagles, or the Eagles, will go to South Alabama to play that volleyball match. There'll be matches on Friday and Saturday. But when so much has been talked about, oh, Southern Miss teams have just been struggling, other than the baseball team, of course, football team improving. This volleyball team, and it's being, the crowds have been so large, everybody is understanding how good this volleyball team is. And, man, great to hear. And we've actually got interviews. We recorded three interviews with some of the young ladies who are really making things happen on that team. And we're going to hear from them throughout this week as they get ready for that big series this weekend at South Alabama. But good for them. The Lady Eagles, or Eagles again. Are they called Lady Eagles?
I believe only the women's basketball team is the Lady Eagles.
Okay, all right. So the Eagles, 5-1 overall, 13-4. Now, South Al is also 5-1 in conference, but they're 10-7 overall. So there's really only one team in the entire conference. They're in the Eastern Division, but Georgia Southern is 14-3. But the Eagles tied atop the standings in the West Division.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible what Coach Hazelwood has been able to do over there. And I know we've had her on the show several times, and just continuing to get better. You know, they had a good season last season, and then they're even better this season. It's great to see more sports continuing to develop, continuing to, you know, increase win totals for the university. It's just good to see. It's been a good fall, I think, for Southern Miss Athletics as a whole. You had your football team is playing very well. The soccer team, of course, is struggling, but the volleyball team's seemingly doing well. Basketball media day is on Wednesday, so that's about to start up with a new head coach on the women's side there. Obviously, Jay Ladner looking to improve with a brand new team. We had him on the show last week, so there's a lot of great things happening in Southern Miss Athletics before we get to spring, which hasn't been the case over the last few seasons.
And the golf teams have won tournaments.
I forgot to mention them.
On both sides of the ledgers, they are playing well. Mm-hmm. And lots of times when programs at any college or university don't do well, there's that knee-jerk reaction to get rid of coaches. Whereas Southern Miss has hung on to some coaches. Sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't. But there are other schools, particularly right now, in the middle of the football season, Dima Mixon, that have had that knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, you know, I saw a tweet this morning, and it said, you know, if you woken up this morning and put a smile on your face, you had a better day than James Franklin or something like that. And in my head, I'm like, you know, James Franklin, of course, was fired by Penn State yesterday. My head, I'm like, he's going to receive $55 million. That doesn't seem like that bad of a day to me. So the UAB head coach was also fired.
Trent
yesterday.
Dilfer,
yes,
former NFL quarterback.
His buyout, would you like to guess what the UAB head coach's buyout was?
$12 million.
No, well, it's a little less than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there.
$3.5 million.
Okay, $3.5. And Jeff Bray at Oregon State.
I don't have his bio.
Okay, but he was also canned.
Yes.
The Beavers coach up in Oregon, he also got let go this weekend. So this do you think this is going to be more standard operating procedure now to can coaches in the middle of seasons?
I think so. You know, we're almost coming up on the year anniversary, if you will, of the Will Hall firing in the middle of the season. And part of it, I think, is because a lot of these, especially, like, you take a team like Penn State, you know, that team is supposed to compete for being in the playoff every year. They're supposed to be in the championship game, Big Ten championship game. You know, they're trying to make the national championship, all these things. James Franklin, been there for 11 years, but you could just tell that there was a sense of division there. He needed to do – this had to be a season. They were bringing back a lot of players, blah, blah, blah. It was a big thing in the Big Ten. And I think the reason they fired him, and one reason why I've heard some names like Kirk Cignetti at Indiana, teams like that, I think the reason I don't think it'll be him, because they want to get a coach in there before December now. Because of the end of the season, you know, NIL, National Signing Day, all these things. And so that's like your target area for a new coach. So I think like anything past this November, for example, if you're firing a coach like in mid-November, you're running a risk of really hurting your recruiting class for the next season.
I understand what you're saying, but if you want to get any current head coach, you're running into the same situation. If you, you know, Cignetti's at Indiana, who he used to be, of course, at James Madison.
But what I'm saying is, like, Cignetti, right now, I mean, you look at the rest of Indiana's schedule, they're going to be 12-0. Like, they're not, nobody's going to beat them in the Big Ten until they get to Indianapolis, where they're probably going to play Ohio State. And whoever wins or loses that game, they're still going to both be in the playoff. And so what I'm saying is, like, Cignetti's probably not going to be available until mid-January. So I don't think Penn State can wait till mid-January to hire a coach.
But my question is who is going to be available?
I know. That's what I'm saying. So if you fire a coach now, it does set you up better to find a coach before December. But I'm just saying it's probably not going to be Cignetti. You could make an argument Matt Rhule maybe in Nebraska, because I don't think Nebraska's going to make the playoff. It's like you have to go for these coaches who are not making the playoff, which is it's just the world we live in. So but the risk you run if you fire someone after the season – is you're really hurting the National Signing Day recruiting class. And now with the transfer portal moving to January, mid-January instead of being in December now, it's going to get really interesting.
Well, people who have tried to make the case that the Franklin firing is similar to the Will Hall firing, to me it's apples and oranges, because James Franklin has had success just about every season up until now. And Coach Hall just wasn't able to find any.
Yeah, whoever's making that comparison doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, as far as the midseason goes.
Because the thing with James Franklin is it's not necessarily a wins-loss thing. Like, it's not. He was a good head coach. He won the games he was supposed to win. He just could never beat the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Oregons, the Notre Dames. He could never get that program to the next step. So that was kind of the mantra. And so what he did this offseason was bring back a lot of the roster from last season, one of the only teams to bring back their quarterbacks, a lot of the defense. They stole they took Ohio State's defensive coordinator and put it on their team, Jim Knowles. It was like this was their season. You know, they're ranked number two in the preseason poll right behind Texas, but that was like the closest 1-2. So it was like if it's not this year, it'll never be this year. It'll never be. And they're 3-3. They lost 2 weeks in a row to 20-plus point favorites. James Franklin for homecoming against Northwestern last weekend was getting booed off the field in his own stadium. Like, when that happens, it doesn't really matter what your wins losses are. You got to make a change. The tension is just too strong. You can't keep going.
But again, the only profession in the world.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And that smell is the dead horse that I'm getting ready to pull out and start kicking again.
But I think you're right. It's ridiculous.
It is absurd.
It's dumb.
With all due respect to all head college football coaches, it is absurd that you get millions of dollars when you're not doing a job that's expected of the people that hire you. You should not be protected by a buyout.
No.
And I know the ADs will say, well, you'll never get a coach then. Oh, yes, I would. Because a lot of these coaches have got egos. You won't need to buy me out because I'm just that good. Well, I would just like to see one athletic director, and I know there'll be, oh, well, like you've ever run an athletic department, like you know what you're talking about. I'm just saying the average fan at home has no idea because we're not that way. Us regular ham and egg eating people don't get these.
But it's like you could maybe make an argument for somebody like a James Franklin or somebody on the upper tier of college football, but like when the UAB head coach is getting $5 to $10 million to get fired, that's just like, all right, what are we doing?
I'll tell you what I would agree with: pay him for the rest of the season.
Yes,
that's it.
I'm not saying James Franklin does not need $50 million to be fired. That's ridiculous.
No, it's ridiculous for
it's stupid
any of them. One of the most bizarre college football games ever staged actually took place in the Sun Belt Conference, and it happened Saturday night. Talk about a tale of two cities. We're going to tell you what happened between Texas State and Troy. The voice of the Trojans, Barry McKnight, joins us next on the Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
DBAT Training sponsors this third segment of the Eagle Hour. It's off season, I guess, for baseball and softball if you do the travel softball or baseball thing. But now's the time that you get better. Actually have some time to get in and work on your swing or get into shape if you're a parent, want to do that while the kids are working out in beautiful air-conditioned controlled comfort at D1 and DBAT training. It's right off of Interstate 59 in Hattiesburg. And a shout-out to our friends at MCS Home Center, home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new home improvement center with local folks eager to help you at 7329 Highway 98 West. You just passed the 589-98 interchange, and it'll be right there on your right. Thanksgiving decorations now, Halloween, Christmas, it's all there for you. Well, at Media Day in August, everybody thought that Texas State was going to be crowned the champion in the West, and that maybe James Madison in the East. Well, so far, so good in the East. But two of the guys who were supposed to be going up and asking the man for more porridge, the two poor kids were supposed to be Southern Miss and Troy. And you look at those two teams now are at the top of the standings in the West. And joining us now, who we'll be talking to again as we get toward the end of the season when these two teams will battle, Southern Miss and Troy, Barry McKnight, who was involved in one of the most bizarre college football games this weekend in San Marcos, where, Barry, as we welcome you, and with all due respect, the first half, the first early part of the game,
yes,
I thought it might have been, gosh, how do I say this, buddy, the worst performance of a college football team defensively that I had seen in a while. And at Southern Miss the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen some bad ones. You guys wind up winning the game 48-41. What in the world was going on down there in San Marcos Saturday?
Well, I would say that your characterization of the first half is accurate, particularly the first quarter. I was not prepared for an Oliver Twist, Charles Dickens reference.
Yes,
from you about,
thank you.
Asking for more porridge. Yes. They told me, man, when you get on with these guys, just be prepared for anything.
That's right.
And that's really what it was for Troy on Saturday. You look at not just the fact that Troy was down 28-7 at the end of the first quarter, but the tone of that. I mean, 21-0, and Troy had it was worse than 21-0. I mean,
yes,
the score did not indicate how totally outplayed the Trojans were at the beginning of that game. I think Texas State had 190 something yards of offense, and Troy had 3 until the Trojans got things going. And when they did, you know, it really got going. It you talk about a game that you never see. For a team, follow me on this.
Okay.
For a team that gives up more than 40 points and a team that gives up more than 300 rushing yards and a team that gives up more than 550 total yards, for that team to win the game with those numbers having given up has happened just 40 times since 1995. That's 40 times in all of FBS football, 40 times in 40 years. What Troy was able to do on Saturday happens about once a year on average in the whole country, the whole year. So to say it was improbable is not to give full credence to the meaning of the word improbable.
What got in to you guys as quarterback? 415 passing yards, 5 touchdowns. Had he even thrown over 200 yards yet this season?
He had, but you know, you've got to understand the context as well of that. Tucker Kilcrease, who about an hour ago was named Sun Belt Conference Offensive
right.
Player of the Week. He's a local guy. I mean, he's from just down the road in a tiny little 1A football program in Brantley, Alabama, which before had only been known as the home of Chuck and Wesley Person in the NBA. For him to come to Troy, a lot of people were rooting for him and everything. But, you know, last year when Goose Crowder got hurt, he got thrown in before he was ready and did not play exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. This year, again, he's the number 2 quarterback. Goose gets hurt again, and he got thrown to the Wolves against Memphis. Troy lost that one badly. He had a bad game. But he's gotten better the next week against Buffalo, led Troy from a 17-0 fourth quarter deficit to win it 21-17. He was really good, threw for 200 yards and ran for 100, and the overtime win at the Vet last week against South Alabama. And then to throw for 415 and to go 30 for 39, I don't think anybody expected that, but I talked to him earlier today, and he said, I never even realized it. I just was trying to, you know, trying to play the next play and figure out what's going on. And then at the very end, you look up, and the scoreboard says we win by 7, and my score sheet says I throw for 415. He was just trying to do whatever it took to win that game. So well, that's the context of him. I mean, he has really kind of grown into a role in an absolutely emergency situation.
Well, this is a Southern Miss show, obviously, Barry McKnight, but it has to say something about your Trojan team when, look, any lesser team would have folded their tent and just said, okay, it's just not our night. This isn't going to happen. But the fact that you guys couldn't stop a nosebleed in the first quarter and then win this thing in overtime, wow, the confidence that must have instilled now in your Trojans, if it wasn't there before, holy smokes.
Well, and you know, remember, this team started out 1-7 last year in Jared Parker's first year after back-to-back Sun Belt championships, and it says a lot about Jared Parker. I've seen, you know, I've called every one of Troy's 9 Sun Belt Conference championship years, and I like to favor myself to think that I know a little bit about what championship football looks like, and just the preparation and the quality of the staff and everything from last year, it looked like a team that had a chance, but you know, nothing teaches success like success. And, you know, some of the messages and lessons they were trying to teach last year didn't resonate fully because they weren't winning. Well, this year, you know, some of those messages really have started to come to bear, particularly, you know, when you look at the last 3 games, you know, going into the fourth quarter down 17 and winning at Buffalo, going into the fourth quarter in a dogfight against South Alabama and having the wherewithal to win it. And last week, now all of a sudden, yeah, it's a testament to the team. It's a testament to the coaching staff that at the very least, you know, I don't know how the season's going to turn out. I don't know how next week is going to turn out. But at the very least, it does emphasize and reinforce to the players what the coaches are trying to teach them and how much they have bought into the culture that they're trying to promote.
And it is always fun to prognosticate, and the fact that the Trojans come here the Saturday after Thanksgiving for what could, who knows, stranger things have happened, but it could be for the Western Division Championship. But with the NIL and transfer portal, and I guess probably for entertainment purposes as well, I don't even know why we try to pick preseason standings, because it's just last 2 years it's just been, you throw it to the wind. Here you go, the Trojans and Eagles sitting at the top of the West when nobody thought that was really going to happen at all.
Yeah, nobody knows anyway. Even in the best of circumstances and the most stable of times, like we've had, you know, in college football for years, that, you know, the preseason polls don't really mean anything. But you're right, especially now. I mean, you know some of the players. You don't necessarily understand the fit, you know, that those players are going to have. There's a couple of guys at Texas State who transferred in that, I mean, have the look, but they have not, you know, they have not produced. Same thing everywhere. There's some guys out there that you think are going to be pretty good, and Braxton comes to mind, but you don't know until they do it, and you don't know to what extent they're going to be successful. And it's working out well there. It's working out well here. Again, I'm not in Hattiesburg, but I can tell you, if it does come down to the last week of the season when the Trojans come to the Rock, I would take that in a heartbeat. I would be all invested in that, to be sure. And I do think that there is more than an average chance of that happening.
Well, and not to divulge too much information, but as you being a broadcaster, you weren't feeling the best to begin with, and then you get thrown an overtime game.
Back-to-back overtime games, to be clear.
Yeah. Well, last week, it was funny because, you know, because I always have a situation, it seems like way too often, where, you know, you lose your voice, and I do a lot of things here at Troy, and I had a sinus infection, so I wasn't feeling great, but it was the voice I was worried about, and I told the guys, Jerry and Chris, the people that I work with, who were phenomenal here on our Troy radio broadcast, and I'm really going to have to be leaning on them, and, you know, so I was kind of nursing my way through, and of course, It was a happy circumstance when the Texas State kicker doinked one off the upright that would have won the game in the last play. But I guarantee you, if you had bought stock in Hall's mentholyptus before the game, you'd be sitting pretty right now, because I went through a bunch that afternoon.
Well, doinking it off the upright, that just kind of seems par for the course, as bizarre and wild as that game was on Saturday. But, man, continued success. Hope that, look, it, like you said, if it comes down to those two teams, that'd be great. Just put it all on the field that last game.
Yes, and you know, there's a special regard for Southern Miss from us people here because of the commonalities we have and everything.
Yes.
But yeah, I'll tell you right now that if it does come down to November the 29th, you're talking to somebody right here who would be thoroughly invested in it.
Well, Barry, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about the wild proceedings Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next month.
That sounds good. Take care, fellas.
All right, Barry McKnight, the radio voice of the Troy Trojans. What a wild win that was for them.
And the song Don't Stop Believing, hey, that it could happen.
For both teams.
Right.
Final segment of the Eagle Hour right around the corner.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Fourth Street Bar and Grill brings you this final segment of the Eagle Hour. The fourth segment belongs to Fourth Street Bar and Grill, right in the shadow of the rock. It's the place to pregame and postgame if you're a Southern Miss football or baseball fan. Even the softball field's right over there. It's a good place to meet up where everybody knows your name, kind of like the old TV show Cheers, and everybody loves the black and gold. Fourth Street Bar and Grill, right over the 4th Street Bridge on 4th Street, kind of overlooking Highway 49. A shout-out also to Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. We thank them for their continued support. And if you don't get to listen to us live when we do the show, and probably 90% of you are listen via the podcast, and the way you do that is it's available on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Tomorrow on the program, the man sitting to my right, Dima Mixon, will actually be on campus. We'll get a live report as to what Charles Huff and his coaching staff have to say about the Louisiana Raging Cajuns coming up this Saturday. Lee Roberts from the Southern Miss Radio Network will join us, and we'll hear via a recorded interview from Sonny Shepard, who is the libero of the volleyball team that is really, really playing some great volleyball, and they head down to South Al this weekend for a battle of first place in the Western Division. So we've already got the finishing touches on Tuesday's show ready to roll. Dima, Sun Belt Conference football action over the weekend, and again, this thing is wide open.
No doubt. So Louisiana Monroe went to Coastal Carolina in a hurricane, it looked like, at the broadcast.
It was, I mean, sheets of rain the entire game.
So Coastal beats ULM, which Coastal's look terrible, but they play well at home. It's really hard to win on the road in the Sun Belt. We've learned that.
But there's another team that nobody expected anything out of was Coastal.
Right. 23-8 over Monroe. So both those teams are 3-3. App State gets a big win at Georgia State. They're 4-2, 1-1 in the Sun Belt. Of course, their one loss being to Southern Miss. UL, Louisiana, who Southern Miss will face off this weekend, battled valiantly at James Madison, lost 24-14. They actually led at half. So I think UL is going to be a tougher out for Southern Miss this weekend than maybe we've originally thought. Old Dominion, who was, to me, one of the better teams in the league, they just laid an egg over at Marshall, 48-24 against the Thundering Herd.
Now, could that have been a trap game? Because
ODU is on the road at James Madison, which I still think is a game that could decide the West. And I think if Old Dominion...
The East.
If Old Dominion wants to win the East, I think this is a must-win game, because if you go back two games behind James Madison, it would be hard to come back from.
Yeah, but you can't crap the bed the week before the big game.
No, I understand you'd
get that head-to-head tiebreaker.
But. Yes. Marshall was 14.5-point underdogs, and they won by 24 points.
Somebody did something wrong.
Of course, we mentioned Troy on over Texas State in overtime, 48-41. And obviously we all know that Southern Miss beat Georgia Southern 38-35. This week, tomorrow night, actually, South Alabama hosting Arkansas State in a Tuesday night Sun Belt matchup. South Alabama is a 7.5-point favorite in that game. Arkansas State, who a lot of us thought were one of the dark horses to win the Sun Belt, man, they've just not looked great at all. Southern Miss, of course, on the road at UL. Troy on the road at ULM, which is going to be a really big game for the West standings, because if Troy wins that game, they would be 3-0 in standings, and if ULM wins that game, they'd be 2-1 coming to the Golden Eagles next week. Coastal on the road at App State, as we already mentioned several times. ODU on the road at James Madison. Texas State on the road at Marshall. Georgia State on the road at Georgia Southern. So a lot of interesting matchups this week in the Sun Belt. In my column, I wrote that this was a big week for the standings as far as if Southern Miss wins against Louisiana Monroe, they would be 3-0 in conference before a home game next week against ULM. There's a chance that Southern Miss could be 4-0 before their bye week in conference if they were to win the next two weekends.
And if they won the next two weekends, I'm glad everybody is sitting down, they would be bowl eligible.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true. They would be bowl eligible with four games left to go.
And so, and Southern Miss really only needs to win, if they were just to win all the remaining home games, they lost all their remaining away games, they'd be 7-5.
All right, let me run this by you. If you had to pick the biggest disappointment, regardless of where they were projected, all right, in the standings, the two biggest disappointments in the East, to me, Georgia State. I mean, you would expect Georgia State to win two or three games, but they've just not played well at all. And the aforementioned Arkansas State, I think, would have to be a little bit of a or would you go with Texas State?
Well, I don't necessarily think Texas State is out of it yet. I know they have two conference losses, so it seems like they are, but I just think the Sun Belt is like anybody can win on any day. So I don't think anybody's really out of it yet.
But they're going to Marshall this weekend.
That's true. I would say Arkansas State for me because they've just looked terrible. I don't think they necessarily look terrible. On the east side, though, I think Georgia Southern's the biggest disappointment. We came into the season, I really thought that they had a chance to win the East. They're just not great. I mean, they're just terrible. Their defense is bad. You know, I think we could see a lot of coaching changes in the Sun Belt this year. I think you could start there at Georgia Southern. I think you can make an argument down there at Arkansas State. There's some interesting coaching changes that we might see this offseason.
And who knows? It might not even be the offseason. It might be next week, way that colleges are firing their coaches in midseason. We never want to see anybody lose their job. But if you're making $50 million to walk out the door,
which door should I leave?
Yeah, good for you. All right, Dima, we'll talk to you tomorrow from campus. Graham Crawford will rejoin us tomorrow. Bob will continue to be on vacation. That'll do it for this edition. For Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sander. Talk to you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And until then, Southern Miss,
to the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.